avoiding sins of omission, and I, by the help of the Holy Spirit, was able to trace the fact that sins of omission many times have a very devastating effect on our lives, and we many times can't trace where it came from. Say, what did I do? And I shared the importance of doing what we should do so we will not do what we shouldn't do. And in it, I spoke about Job in particular, and David, and the fact that in this end time, we need God's divine protection operating fully. I shared, I remember Pastor Wigger was sitting down and as I was talking, and the more we walk in love, the better protection we have. The less we walk in love, the less protection we have. Except for the fact that by His mercy and grace, God puts us under covering of somebody who is walking in love. Then their covering covers for us, which is what many are enjoying. But the hour has come where each of us, by the mercy and the grace of God, needs to walk more in love. If I was to put a series on this, I'll call them the avoiding series, things we need to avoid. The battle is hotting up. It is. It's getting hotter and hotter. The enemy is panicking. So he's doing everything, all kinds of scare tactics. And so, one of the very crucial things which we must learn to avoid is strife. So I've entitled this message, Avoiding Strife. Let us bow to pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We are so grateful. We thank you for your sweet presence in our midst. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves. We're fully conscious of the limitations of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. And therefore, we need your help to come and help us to unravel it. Consequently, I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, that so that I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I further pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow, Father, freely from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released to follow these words, to back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hear only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery. So I will do it truly with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name. We are living in perilous times. You don't need revelation to know that. Just look around you. Just yesterday, my wife and I came back and were just watching the CNN, and there was another attack on a train in Switzerland. Some of us just came back from Switzerland and France a few weeks ago. I went with Pastor Andrew and Pastor Laulu and Brother Dotun went for a computer conference. But, you know, very peaceful. You'd never think anything like that could happen in such a place. And it further amplifies this truth of us having divine protection. cannot be overemphasized, so that we can live long and well enough, that is in good health, to fulfill our destiny. The main thing, the only card Satan can play now, and God in his mercy will allow us to overcome it, but there's a card in, you know, when you play cards, you have a card like a joker, or you have a very good card that can help you to win the game. There is a card in his hand that he wants to try and play, which is to try and kill some of us who are in the forefront of this thing. And if he can succeed in that, he can't stop it, but at least he can delay things a little bit more. When you have truth, and you know truth, you're a target. You need to know that. You're more dangerous than the person who doesn't have the truth that you have. That is to Satan. So you become a strategic target that they concentrate on. And one of the ways he can get people is through this thing. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we fall into it ever so often. Sometimes we don't even realize we're inside it. Over the years, I have tried to exercise myself, my wife and I, to avoid strife. Some might look as if you're a fool, but you're not a fool. You're really wise. The man who doesn't talk much is not a fool. It's not because he can't talk. And it's not because he doesn't have something to say. Many times he will not talk because talking will let out, and we'll see in a few minutes, it can cause a lot of problems. I sent something to the pastors, I don't know if I sent it to the whole church, on when to be silent. I didn't do it, so somebody sent it to me. There's so many times to be silent. The Bible says that, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it says, in the multitude of words, they wanted not sin. When you talk too much, the likelihood of saying the wrong thing, the probability, if we can, you know, use a scientific something, goes high. That doesn't say you shouldn't talk, but if you let your words be words of precision, let your words be words of comfort, let them be, you know, say what you need to say in as few words as possible, you know, so that you just say only what God wants you to say. The Lord Jesus himself practiced this. In fact, the scripture tells us that it is the hallmark of a perfect man. It says, if a man who does not offend, if he does not miss it when it comes to words, he will not miss it anywhere else. If he misses it anywhere else, it's because he missed it in what he said. Words are very, very powerful. The book of James tells us, it says that, you know, how great a forest a little spark kindles. Some of these forest fires we see in California and, you know, in Australia and many places like that, it doesn't start from a big thing. It just dry leaves. Then maybe the sun shines on it. Somebody takes a magnifying glass or something, and the rays of the sun focus, and it just starts burning. Immediately it incinerates all the other trees, and before you know, you have a forest fire that can destroy thousands of homes, billions of dollars, you know. It started from a very small spark. The Bible says your tongue is like that. Just a small thing you say is like a spark. See, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Then it sets into motion the cycle of natural events. So many things. What happened? Something you said triggered it in the realm of the spirit. Then you now see the whirlwind in the physical of all kinds of terrible circumstances. What happened? It's because of something you said that you shouldn't have said. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verses 24 to 26, and you will read along with me. In fact, let's read verse 23. Verse 23 was not in my notes, but I just looked at it now and I said, you know, it's very, very apt. It says, but avoid. I call it the avoiding series. For protection, you need to avoid many some things. This is one of them. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they what? Generate strife. I'm actually reading New King James. Let me go back to the King James. I'll come back to the New King James or any other ones. It says in King James, it says, knew the gender. That means they generate. What generates strife? Foolish and unlearned questions. You know, there are some things, it's better not to just say anything. Don't talk foolish talk. I always tell this to my people, even in jest, even in joking, there's something called foolish jesting. You may not have meant any harm, but if it's foolish, don't indulge in it. The servant and the servant of the Lord. How many people are servants of the Lord here? If you are serving, you don't have to be a pastor to be a servant of the Lord. If you serve God, even with your spirit in any little way, put your hand up. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that God is talking to you and I. The servant of the Lord must. This is not a suggestion. It's a command, a very strong one. Must not strive, but be gentle. Oh, I didn't hear you. Unto some men. Apt to teach. Patient. One of the carpenters, the carpenter's mommy told us, craftsmen. This is the thing that's going to help Nigeria. It's going to help us. Patient. In meekness. In meekness. In meekness. In meekness. Bible talks about the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. It means it's not quarrelsome. You know, you can make your point and not quarrel. In meekness. He looks like a mumu. That's colloquial in Nigerian language. It means, it's as if the guy doesn't have a strong character. Because he doesn't shout and he doesn't fight. He's a wise man. In what? Meekness. Instructing. I didn't hear you. Those that oppose them. Those who are fighting, they are opposing themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the what? Acknowledging of the truth. That they who are opposing themselves, they who are in strife, may recover themselves out of the snare. The word snare is Old English. I'm going to read another translation in a minute, but let me finish with King James. Out of the snare or the trap. So strife is a trap. It's a trap. And sadly, it catches us many times. Of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In other words, once you are in strife, you are in Satan's territory. He can walk in and walk out as he likes. He can take you, literally take you captive at his will. Anytime he likes, he can take you captive. When you are in strife. This thing is, you know, you will live long. I say you are going to live long. And you will fulfill your destiny. But there are things you have to avoid. This is one of them. Avoid sins of omission. Avoid strife. If we can, you can flip it round. You know, make sure you practice love. Love is the keeping of all the commandments. So if you avoid omitting walking in love, in other words, if you enforce the love of God, the kingdom of God, which I spoke about during the Bible study, you know, when I was rounding up, you know, if you enforce righteousness, just right doing, which is done by the fruit of the Spirit anyway, you know, if you enforce that, you don't miss it. you avoid sins of omission, and you avoid, by extension, strife, it would be practically impossible for Satan to enter into your affairs. I didn't say he won't attack you. He'll attack, but the attack will be rebuffed. It just won't work. The dart will come, but the shield of faith will quench it. Now, I want us to read this same passage in the Message Bible. When I was studying this, I was so blessed reading. Sometimes these modern translations can be very good. Sometimes they don't. They don't get, you know, they're not very good. But sometimes they are. This is one of them. Look at, I'm reading from Message. It says, refuse to get involved in inane discussions. That is, you know, unnecessary, foolish discussions. They always end up in fights. God's servant must not be argumentative. Many years ago, when I was a young Christian, God gave me a definition of strife. And the definition, I wrote it down. I have it in my diary, which I wrote 1981 or 82. I wrote it down, you know, and I've been practicing it ever since in my life. I'm not perfect. But whenever I quickly try and retrace my steps, you know, it's contentious and argumentative words. We always want to win an argument. We always want to win an argument. It's going to prove. It happens between husband and wife. It happens between friends. It happens between, you know, argument. There's no need. Some people are arguing there. What did pastor say? Hello? Contentious, avoid it. And I noticed something. It's not in my notes. It's coming to me by the Spirit. In the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will notice this in his ministry. In the early part of his ministry, God is smart too. Whenever they will say anything to him, he will answer them. One time he told him, he said, I have many things to say. He said, but I only say what the Father has told me. Then at the end of his ministry, when he wanted them to attack him, he did it deliberately. You know, sometimes when we were watching a movie yesterday about, you know, some warfare in the olden days, and, you know, and I was telling them that the strategy is always the same. Sometimes what you want to do is draw out your enemy. Because you have a plan, then you do a pincer movement, you outflank him, and then you surround them, and then you're now going for the push. Sometimes some people are not smart. They don't realize that the guy is trying to, he's not his main force. He will do something to provoke you, draw out, so you come out from your defenses, you know, and then they will encircle you and finish you off. So this guy, you know, the Lord Jesus, that's what he did. He wanted them to kill him. It was a plan. So he said, vipers, serpents. You don't hear that. You don't hear that in the beginning. John the Baptist said it, but not Jesus. You know, yeah, Jesus, just. You know, then he would say, you know, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You strain at a camel, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. The thing was, he said they gnashed it and they took counsel to kill him, which is exactly what he wanted them to do. But you don't want them to kill you, do you? See, Jesus died for you already. Amen. So you don't want to draw them out like that. Words are very powerful. They are very powerful. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. You say the wrong thing and they'll kill you. Your mouth caused it. It wasn't them. You killed yourself. Just by saying, it may be the truth, But sometimes some people don't want to hear the truth. So what do? What's the point of stirring them up to kill you? Then you don't fulfill your destiny. Well, you could have just kept quiet and prayed for them. Contentious and argumentative words. The servant of the Lord must not be argumentative, but a gentle. I like these are some of the fruit of the Spirit we have to develop. They are there, but you know, let me ask you a question. How many people will call you gentle? If they think about you, say, are you gentle? You know, it's a spiritual force. But be gentle. Gentle. Gentle means, yes, what are you saying? I don't like what you say, no. Yeah, okay. Let's finish. A gentle listener. I like this. A teacher. That's why I like the new translation. A teacher who keeps. He knows the truth. He keeps cool. He doesn't allow them to draw him out. He doesn't allow them to provoke him. Next verse. Walking firmly, but patiently, with those who refuse to obey. You know, many times we get impatient with people who refuse to obey. When you see their disobedience, it now provokes you. You get angry. You don't understand about Jesus. You know, that's why I like the Bible. It's an honest book. Remember that time Jesus came from the mountain and they brought that boy, you know, and they couldn't cast out. Jesus was angry. He was angry. Our bread in here. You know, the Bible is honest. You know, he said he was angry. He said, how long shall I suffer you? Then he cooled down. The next thing he said, bring the boy. He didn't continue with that argument. Immediately, that thing, he just said it, and immediately he just, instead of, there's no point talking to these ones, bring the boy. Then later on, after he had cooled down, they now asked him, they said, why could you? He said, because of your unbelief. And this doesn't come out quietly. You must keep his cool. Because sometimes disobedience and unbelief does provoke anger. It does. No wonder the scripture says, be angry and sin not. Because God knows there are going to be a lot of people around you who are going to provoke you to anger. And you will be angry. But you must learn not to sin. And the way to know is. He said it. He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I suffer you? You can see those sharpness in his eyes. You know. And then he brought it down. So bring the boy, bring the boy. How long have you cast the boy? Then, you know, then he's talking to them. Same people. And saying, you know, what was it that you people were discussing on the way? Who would be the greatest? That's why he couldn't cast the thing out. He said, you must learn the lesson. He that is greatest in the kingdom will be servant. Apt to teach. Cool. Angry? Yes. But controlled. I mean, practical. This is something you must learn to avoid. It is a trap. And it is designed to kill you. That's Satan's plan. You will live, you will not die. Amen. But as a good pastor, teacher, prophet, I must tell you the truth. You know, a warning is not a curse. It's so that you won't fall into the trap. Am I talking to anybody here? You never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart. Look at Simeon, the sorcerer. And a turning to the truth. Next verse. Enabling them, I like this in this message, to escape the devil's trap where they are caught and held captive, forced to run his errands. In other words, it's Satan who will be telling you go and come, and you'll be going and coming. Jo Roja Rajo. Simply because you got into strife. Child of God, servant of God, now becomes a servant of the devil. He's being forced. It's not what he wants to do, but there's a spiritual force in the air that is making him do Satan's bidding. Forced to run his errands. That's what happens when you allow yourself to get into strife. We're going to get there in a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself, but it bears repetition and emphasis. There's only one way to control the tongue. It's to control the heart. Yes. There's only one way. You can't control your tongue if you don't control your heart. Because it's of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So all those emotions and everything, if you do not use love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit, if they are not dominating, that's what kingdom is. That's why I said kingdom is within. That's what kingdom is allowing the dominion of love, the dominion of peace, the dominion of gentleness, the dominion of goodness, the dominion of long-suffering, the dominion of kindness, the dominion of patience. So it's when they dominate your emotions, you won't say the wrong thing. Because it's from those emotions your mouth talks. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you want to say something, then that force, that love, that gentleness, that patience, just say, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. And then like Jesus, just change the topic. Bring the boy to me. Jesus was angry, Truly time perverse generation. How long shall I suffer you? Then just bring the boy to me. His mom comes to him. Wedding of Cana of Galilee. He passed that test. They have no wine. Woman, what do I have to do with it? And he was right and wrong. Right in the sense that from his own understanding, it's not in a feast, in a marriage for heaven's sake, a social gathering, that I'm going to start manifesting the glory of God. What has that got to do with me? And then he cooled down. Then God spoke to him. Then the woman now told him, Mary, the mother of God, she said to him, whatever he told the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do. The Lord Jesus is a great example. We should follow him. He has said, what have I to do with thee? My time has not yet come. And then 5 minutes later, his mommy speaks to the people. He goes back, obviously, perhaps in all that ways, acknowledging him. God speaks to him. He says, go and fill the water pots with water. Go and fill it with water. And draw to the governor of the feast. And behold the first miracle. What if he had? And of course he wouldn't have. But, that's why these things are written, for admonition. What if he gotten angry? And starts speaking to his mommy anyhow. There's temptation too. Because he felt that the thing will happen at the feasts. And he wasn't wrong. It was just that God decided to do something at that wedding feast to mark another aspect of revelation about the mystery between Christ and the church. And then he also did miracles at the feast. So what he had in his heart was not wrong. It was just that God wanted to add something and he didn't tell him. He told his mommy. And he had to humble himself to submit to his mother when he didn't feel like it. What an example. Give the Lord a clap of praise. He didn't feel like it. That's why, I like the Bible, because the Bible doesn't tell us lies. It tells us exactly what he said. And you can see the thing in his heart. What have I to do with thee? What's my business with their wine? My time has not yet come. That's what tells you, what was his reaction? But he didn't do what he felt like doing. He, after he had said that, he now went back to God. He said, Lord, what's mommy saying? God said, just do what she said. He said, okay, Father. Oh, yeah. Now fill the thing with water. Draw it to the field, Governor. Bingo. I said this many times. I'm going to keep saying it. Because this glory is imminent upon us. The day this thing is going to start is going to be something like that. It may be in a place, in a time, where you will least expect it. Dad, when Jesus got up that morning, he didn't know. That's how tight this thing is. That morning, when he got up and went to that, he didn't know. God didn't tell him. When they sat down at the feast, it wasn't something... Wait. This was towards the end, when the wine had finished. So they had been there for a while. Maybe an hour. Maybe they've eaten. Everybody's relaxed. They've been drinking. Then they just find that the wine is finished. And just say, what's my own business with their wine? You know, with the wine finished, you know. That would be the last time, place you will expect. I put myself in that situation. I said, God, have mercy. Have mercy. His mind didn't go there. He knew what was going to happen. You know, he was looking toward the feast of Passover that was ahead of him. You know, but, you know, when his mommy now said, you know, they have no wine, he said, wait, my time hasn't yet come. Then he knew the Bible. Honor your father and your mother. That force of love and respect. Then he obeyed. Even though he didn't feel like it. The lesson there is this. Many times, that very day, you won't know. It was some hours later. And even when the hour came, he still didn't know. It was a few minutes later. Then God said, yes, yeah, time. That's going to be for us. We won't know the day. We won't know the hour. But if you walk in love, you won't miss it. Give the Lord a glory. If you will walk in love, you will not miss it. It was love and honor for his mother that made him not to miss it. Am I talking to anybody here? I'm talking about avoiding strife. So you need to avoid strife. It doesn't mean you shouldn't talk. It doesn't even mean you shouldn't make your point. Make it without fighting. Gentle, cool. Okay? I don't agree with you. But okay, this is what I believe. Leave it. But fight and get angry. Raise your voice and argumentative. It will open you up to a trap. The enemy will come in and send you on errand. I like that message. The Yoruba people have a saying, Eshuaya Elu. Isn't it wonderful the way our people think? You know, it's God who speaks to the Yoruba people. I've heard that thing. Abi, honey, aren't I right? Eshumanya Elu. Imagine he will borrow you to use you. You are not his servant, you are God's servant. But he will borrow you as his own servant for a few hours and send you on his errands. In our language, that means God will not allow, but his house will allow. You know, we say a lot of things that are religious. You know, God will have mercy on us, so we will not allow. That's the better way of saying it. God will have mercy on us, so we will not allow the devil to send us on his errands. When you are in strife, you are in Satan's trap. And he, by spiritual forces from the air, through your soul and body, forces you to do his will and can destroy you at any time. Taken captive by him at his will. I see by the help of the Holy Spirit that this is probably the primary reason why many Christians die. It's one of them. They're all their defenses are down. Then everybody starts saying, well, what happened? You know, I didn't do anything. You know, the guy didn't commit adultery, didn't commit fornication. You know, all the big things we're looking for, he didn't do it. But he was in an argument and never closed the loophole. Marv and I have a policy. God helps us to practice it, and we practice it. You know, whenever we, and we do have arguments sometimes, you know, but we always come together and say, we're sorry. Always. And both of us say it. I will say I'm sorry. She will say she's sorry. Then we pray. Because we know that if you leave that door open and go to sleep, you may never wake up. In Jesus' name. I can imagine. That's why none of them said it. I said, you may sleep. In Jesus' name. I will wake up. If you go to bed with the door open, you may not wake up. You will wake up in Jesus' name. You know, be like a door. Thank you, darling. It shows how serious it is. That, you know, I'm just amplifying it. Yes, thank you, darling. It shows how serious it is. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See how the two of them are connected. Same Holy Spirit. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place. So if the sun goes down on your wrath, you just gave place to the devil. And incidentally, he wasn't writing to sinners. He was writing to, listen to this, born again, spirit-filled, revelation. It was Ephesian church. Revelation knowledge Christians. Not just, it is not even Corinth. This is probably one of the most spiritual churches. They had the highest revelation in the whole of the New Testament. And if God told those guys that you don't let the sun go down on the land, neither give place to the devil, how much more you? I'm going to repeat what I said in the morning when I was running up Pastor Boyega's Bible study. Anytime you believe you cannot be deceived, you're already deceived. It's one of our biggest. You know, we hear things like, that's not for me. He's already got you. The presumptuous Christian, the Christian who thinks of himself more highly than he ought, has already been trapped. The attitude of haughtiness and arrogance that makes you think you are more spiritual than you are has already opened a door through your pride for Satan to get you. So when you hear things like this, don't say in your heart. You know, that's what John the Baptist said. Say, don't begin to say to yourselves, we are the children of Abraham. Don't begin to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a born again Christian. I speak in tongues. I bind the devil. If you have the wrong attitude, if you're argumentative, if you let the sun go down on your wrath, Satan will catch you. That means it was God who sent me with this message. I didn't send myself. You know why? God loves you and he wants you to live long. And because the glory is just around the corner, are you following? There is an onslaught that's against the body of Christ now. And I got news for you. I don't know, I can call it good news, bad news. It's good news if you know what you do about it. It's bad news if you're not prepared. You know, even after the glory, there will still be a counterattack. You know, the glory has come. Now we can chill. You can't chill, oh. In fact, there is a greater time of danger. When was James killed? After the glory. Remember, it was Peter, James, and John. It was always before John. It was never Peter, John, and James. It was Peter, James, and John. I'm going to talk about John a little bit before I close. You know, how did he get in? A whole James.
apostle number two. If you call Peter number one, and you say James is number two, then John was number three. Go and check it in scripture. The name John never comes before James. A whole apostle with the manifestation of the Spirit without measure, the borrowed anointing, healing the sick, raising the dead. Yet, an adulterous, drunken king was able to snatch him and cut his head off. It wasn't even the Romans. We would have said maybe it's, you know, the Romans. Herod. Udemuje. In our language, that means, and he got away with it. These things are written so that we can read them and then we can know what to do so that these things will not happen to us. It's coming. Don't believe me. It's in Matthew 24. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill some. Thank God it's not all. And that doesn't happen until after the glory. When the glory comes, there's going to be this. Initially, Satan will. It's like boxing. You know, when you hit your opponent and he goes back and he staggers. So we'll have a little bit of respite. You know, but hey, the glory came. Bass! Heavyweight. Then all of a sudden, he will try and recover. Then his eyes are red with blood. Then he wants to see how he can come back and hit his opponent. A wounded lion sometimes is more dangerous than the one that is not wounded. He's desperate. Then he tries and hits back. But we'll be ready for him. By the mercy and the grace of God, we'll be ready for him. Hallelujah. We're going to have our shield of faith, the whole armor of God in place. And when he comes, he will come, but we will be able to repudiate him. Be able to resist him. Is this clear? This message is to get us ready. So we must, the servant of the Lord must not strive. They can call you, all day. They can call you fool. They can call you, who cares what they call you? You know who you are. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't talk, we should talk. I'm going to show you some book of Proverbs. These are things I have, over the years, I have assiduously, by the mercy and the grace of God, practiced. You know, first of all, look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Go back to King James now. Some of these other translations miss it on the precision. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. I like this scripture. Only by pride. And the scripture cannot be broken. Eka. He didn't say, he said only. If you are in contention, pride is working in your heart. I didn't write the Bible. Number two, I am not your maker. It's the manufacturer who made you that is telling us what is inside the machine. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. The wise man will not argue and enter into contention. He may just drop a word and just leave it. In some cases, he won't even say anything. You see that in the Lord Jesus Christ. After he had drawn them out to do what God wanted them to do, to arrest him and to kill him, the only person he spoke to was Pilate. Because Pilate answered an honest question. He said, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" He said, "I'm a king, yeah. Not a physical king, I'm paraphrasing. But I am king, yeah, I am. I am." He said, "Did anybody tell you this or did somebody tell you?" Then the next thing Pilate said, you know, he didn't talk for a long time. "Ask your guy a question."
didn't say a word. Then he said, you don't talk to me. You're not talking to me. Don't you know I have power to kill you and I have power to crucify you? He crossed the line. And the Lord, I love the Lord Jesus. Jesus is not a historical figure to me. He's real. He just looked at him. He said, thou couldest have no power out of me, except it was given to you from above. And those who delivered me to you, they have the greater sin. Then, Pilate started shaking. He met truth face to face. His conscience struck him. Ah, this man must be who he said he is. The man was cool. That you can see him under fire. Cool. Didn't say a word. Just after he said that, didn't say anything again. And they argued, blah blah blah, blah. Crucify him. They led him to be killed, to be crucified. Didn't say anything. The only people he talked to was those women who were crying. As they carried the god Simon, the that black man from Libya. Come on, carry the cross. You know, in our language, that'd be just took this black man, you know, this the guy from Syria, from Libya, you know, Cyrene, you know, but in the olden days it was Libya. You slapped him and carry the cross. You know, Jesus, there's so much blood. He had lost. He probably would not have made that journey to Golgotha if God hadn't used them to get that guy to carry him. That cross was just too heavy. He had already been beaten with 40 lashes. His blood was already flowing from the whole body. He had a crown of thorns on his head. All that had been done by the soldiers. He had been flogged, beaten. So he was already very weak. I got a guy to carry something. So the women were wailing and crying. He said, daughters of Jerusalem. He said, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves. If they have done this in a green tree, what will be done in the dry? He was talking about what's going to happen 40 years down the road in AD 70, when the Romans are going to come. This one is going to be child's play. Which is exactly what happened. Next verse. Chapter 17, verse 14, all in Proverbs. That's why you need to read your Proverbs every day. Each day you get something fresh from the Holy Spirit when you read that Proverbs. For that will equip you for that day. Look at this, the beginning of strife. Open your mouths. Is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Once you see it is starting, just because you will not be able to handle the end of it all if you continue. Don't try and prove your point and argue. Make your point and leave it. From Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips. Eka. I'm not talking to any fools here, so they shouldn't be afraid of saying it. A fool's lips, I didn't hear you, enter into contention, and his mouth, what? It is his own very mouth that is going to allow him to be afflicted. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. What does that tell us? It is contention that is the mother of strife and reproach. Scorner. A scorner is somebody who doesn't like correction. You tell them anything, they will want to fight with you. They don't like it. Bible says, cast out the scorner. This is contention will cease, and contention shall go out. God,
This is why the book of Proverbs is so important, and the whole Bible generally, but the book of Proverbs in particular, it gives us practical instructions on how to deal in day-to-day interactions and relationships with people. Many years ago, you know, I had issues, it wasn't me, you know, people had issues with me and what I was teaching and said all kinds of things about me, you know, and, you know, discouraged my ministry and, you know, they even went around to tell people, don't let that guy come to your church. Some people, see, but I don't know if they're still doing it, you know, I don't know. You know, some of those people. And I would, some, I've had situations where people would just whisper to me that this person said this. Or this person did that. Or this person told this person such and such and such and such. You know, I've learned over the years, you know, and I'm still learning, you know, I won't even discuss it with them. I won't even let them know I know. I just, hello, how are you? Just be nice and kind, pray for them. You know, what's the point? Am I going to change his mind? So how do we deal with this thing? Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. It tells you how to handle a scorner. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. This thing just fully is, Proverbs is full of it. He that, I didn't hear you. You have to read this Bible. Oh. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Yet the Bible says, this is the flip side. It says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Doesn't the Bible say so? So how do I balance this? I have to first of all discern the kind of person this person is. If he is a scorner, there's no point giving him open rebuke. Just give him secret love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. But what is best is open rebuke and secret love. There's a thing I thought I was going to write it years ago. I've not written it, but we'll write it one of these days. I'll probably get Shola to start working on it, you know, and go and get all the proverbs. And everywhere it says better, 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 better. I call it the best of proverbs. I say, open rebuke is better, but what is best is open rebuke and secret love. What's secret love anyway? I'll tell you what it is. You know, we've preached it here so many times. You know, we didn't call it secret love, but that's what it is. If any man sees brother sin a sin which is done to them, he shall ask lie. That's secret love because he doesn't even know I asked for him. It is secret love because it's in the mind. He said, if any man see, you see with your mind. He's not talking about seeing with your eyes. He's talking about like the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. If any man sees brother sin, even with, at the thought level, you just ask lie for that person. It's secret love. He doesn't even know I've done it for him. So if he's a scorner, that's what I do. I don't leave him in his trap because I want to help him. He said, he that rebuketh a wicked man gets himself what? A blot. Who wants a blot? So what do? You don't rebuke them. Just pray for them. Now, if he's a good man who can take correction, then you rebuke him and then you also pray for him. And you tell him the truth and then you help him. But if he's a scorner, you don't want to get in that. You don't want to get reproach and then he starts arguing and then he starts shouting and fighting. You don't want to get into that. You don't want to get into strife. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 7. Okay, 5. Okay, that's the one I quoted. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 5. I think that's the one I quoted. Open rebuke. Okay. So, really, I'm closing now. This is how to handle contention and strife. Make your point. Doesn't mean you're a fool. Doesn't mean you don't have anything to say. Say it as nicely and as gently as you can. Once you have said it, leave it. Don't try and argue. Don't become argumentative. Don't become quarrelsome. You don't want to get into strife. You don't want the enemy to be able to trap you. Then
From a distance, you can actually pray for the person, give them secret love. You know, some people, as you pray for them and ask life will come and light will come. Then they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. Then they will change. Some may not, but that doesn't really matter. What really, it matters because you love, you care for people and we don't want them to change. But you've done your bit. But you must learn, the servant of the Lord must not strive. And the way you do is by walking in love and allowing the fruit of the Spirit to dominate. Everybody say dominate. Say dominion. Say kingdom means the dominion of the king. And in particular, the dominion of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of gentleness, of goodness, of faithfulness, of meekness, of self-control, of patience. That's what it literally means to walk in the kingdom. So what is going to dominate? What is it going to dominate? It's going to dominate your emotions. Long-suffering will dominate impatience and irritation. Gentleness will dominate harshness. Kindness would dominate cruelty. Keep the forces, the fruit of the Spirit, keep them constantly. I sent something out from Gloria Copeland recently. You know, keep them constantly flowing with power. So when any negative thing comes, what's coming from your heart is much more powerful than what's coming from the flesh. So when there's a temptation to contend, a temptation to strive, what is inside will come out and it will dominate it. In closing, you know, have you noticed how, you know, on mornings when you don't pray properly, you're much irritable? Have you ever asked when you get to, you know, blow your fuse? How many people have blown their fuse? Yeah, I have. I'm talking about all hell, come on, people. Bible, they all liars. How many people have blown their fuse? Yeah. Your hand is not up. We all blow our fuse. Amen. But the thing is, don't keep it blown. Change it quickly. Put a new fuse. Amen. Let the fruit of the Spirit, let it dominate us. Let it dominate us. And it's not automatic. I like what Pastor Boyega taught this morning. Faith cometh. It's dynamic. That's why he says once every 6 hours. And at every, the man is not stupid. He is the guy who designed the system. He knows where the enemy is coming from. So you find after 6 hours, that thing begins to go down. You boost it up again. After 6 hours, the thing begins to go down. You boost it up again. Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. I'm praying in spirit, but I'm releasing the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the fruit, love, joy, peace, long suffering. I've already made all those confessions earlier in the day. So when I pray in the spirit, I'm releasing that. So that's what's going to dominate my mind. It's going to dominate my emotions. So it's going to keep me alive. So during the next hour, when anything happens with my thoughts, it's easy for me just to repudiate the thing. Even without praying, with my mouth. Because the power is already in the air. It's already in my heart. So I can easily direct. You find it's not so difficult to forgive. It's not so painful. You find you can do it. Because the power of God that is inside your heart is greater than that. The Bible called the power of godliness. The power that makes you like God. Is this clear? We must. This is a compulsory course. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Let us pray. And I've shown you how to do it. You do it by the blood, the word, and the spirit. You keep the word in your mouth. You keep it in your heart. You read it. You say it. You think it. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the making a fresh commitment to walk in the kingdom and use it to avoid strife. It's a dynamic thing, folks. You have to constantly keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces of life. You got to do it diligently. That's why I say, when you sit down, when you get up, when you lie down, once every 6 hours. So that those forces are constantly in operation. So when there is opportunity for strife, it is that will come up, like it did in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was angry with them, it was that force that came up that didn't allow him to continue. He just said, "Take them, brother, what shall I do with them?" Then he cooled down, called the boy. Then later he spoke to them and said, "Your unbelief," and left it. When his mommy talked to him, he didn't feel like it. "Woman, what about it? My time is all out." Then listen. Let it dominate. Raise that hand. Touch your heart, your honesty, your sincerity. Say, "Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood of Jesus, and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us," as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you have brought to me, this timely word for these perilous times, teaching me that I have to avoid strife so I will not be taken captive by the enemy, and I will not be destroyed, so that I will live long, I will live well to fulfill my destiny. Oh God, come and have mercy on me. Help me. Teach me your ways. Teach me to keep your word in my mouth and in my heart all day long, so that I will have the spiritual power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to be a doer, not a hearer only. In particular, I will have the power of the Holy Spirit to allow the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, to dominate my mind, to dominate my emotions, to dominate my will, so that I will respond in love, no matter the external provocation, so that I will not enter into strife. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray. This is where you need to pray. Pray fervent. You are releasing the power of the Holy Spirit from your spirit, the belly, innermost being. He's going up into the mind through the chest. He's going into the mind, the will, into the air. We're not just talking. We're praying. We're releasing power. Pray. Pray fervently. Pray with precision. Pray with focus. Pray with strength. In Jesus' name. Put your hands down. You know this message, I was supposed to have given it last week. Mommy gave that message on Nigeria and the carpenters. And there was an aspect of that message that was actually linked up with this one. Those four carpenters. The solution of Nigeria's problem starts with you. It is easy to point the finger. Dogara did this. This one padded this. This person did Iwonko. Are you walking in wisdom? Are you walking in love? Are you walking in patience? The real solution, it can't start with us. They are bread for us. The unbeliever really feels sorry for them. The man is, he doesn't even have a choice. He has a choice, but he has a master that is dominating him. Like Pastor Boyega brought up beautifully this morning. It is also going to set them free. But how can you set somebody free when you are not free yourself? You want to come and pray for Nigeria and you're not dominating Olubi? I use myself as a person. I'm not dominating Olubi and I want to come and dominate the air over Nigeria. I said in our language. I said, I want to come and pray and bind the devil over Nigeria, and I'm not bound the devil over Olubi. Can it work? It can't. It is the degree to which I have the kingdom in me, within me, that I cannot effectively enforce the kingdom in the air around me and in my nation. See that we have a lot of work to do. I said we have a lot of work to do. Hello, Maro. Hello. That is God is going to help us.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you very much. And he's very patient. He's more patient with you than you are with yourself. Don't condemn yourself. Don't write off yourself. God's long suffering is really long. I'm not an edge guru. I'm not finished. See, if Peter made it, if John made it, if Thomas made it, you will make it. Give yourself a clap offering. You will make it. You will make it. I said 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 you will make it. Hallelujah.